no matter what it takes, I'm going through. I'm going all the way. We've got our eye on the goal. The goal is not just to do things, get better here in this world, but our goal is to make it to heaven. We heard a little bit about that in Sunday school today. We want to make it to heaven. If we have that goal in mind, then what we do, we begin to do whatever is necessary to make to see how we can reach that goal. And I believe that all of us have that desire and that goal. That's why we're here. This is one of the things that the Lord lays down in His Word for us to do, is to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some be, but we come and encourage one another. You receive encouragement here that you can't receive at home. It's just impossible. The Lord, I know the Lord has the ability to keep you, and He does when you are not in a position where you can come to service. But we thank the Lord that you have a desire to be here, and you have a desire for to enter into the worship of the Lord with those that are of like mind. And we thank the Lord for that. We want you to turn with us to John, the 8th chapter, and we're going to start reading at about the 30th verse. We want to talk today about truth and what truth is and how important it is for us to know truth, to know what the truth of God's Word is. We're not just here because we are individuals that have simply like minds and we all want to come to just visit with people of like minds, but we have the mind of Christ. Our desire is to be faithful to the Lord and to please the Lord in everything that we do. And I often hear, you used to hear it more back then than you do now, but we often hear people say, I thank the Lord for the truth. And I do thank the Lord for the truth. I believe that what we teach and what we preach and what we live is the truth. And I believe that when we are living according to the Word, and the Word of God really is what truth is. So in essence, our responsibility is, Lord, what is it that your Word declares the way that I should live? You show me that, and I'm willing to do that, whatever it is. It doesn't matter what everybody's saying. It doesn't matter what the facts are. It doesn't matter what the popular opinion is. I want truth. And let me tell you what's happening in our generation today. Our generation today, there is a campaign against the truth of God's Word. There's one thing that we do in our court system. One of the things that they say when they call it swearing in, and they tell you to affirm or whatever, do you affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Do you know that that is of vital importance for us to have the whole truth, not just, I want you to tell the truth. I don't want you to lie. I don't want you to skew it in any kind of a way. I want you to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And I thank the Lord that what we can have in our experience is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. I want us to start reading John, the 8th chapter, and want to read quite a bit here. So start at the 30th verse and read down probably to about 45. And I want you to take heed to what is being said here.
And he spake these words, many believed on him.
Okay, he spake the words. This is talking about Christ. He was preaching and many believed because Christ is, what you have to understand, is the personification of truth. What did he say? He said, sanctify them through thy truth. What is truth? Thy word is truth. So we understand that the Word of God is truth. The Spirit of God is truth. Christ is the personification of the Word and the Spirit. He is the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He is truth. Now I want you to understand as we read this that the people are having an interaction with absolute truth. They're having interaction with Christ Himself. All right? He said, and many believed the truth of God's Word. All right?
Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him.
He said to those Jews which believed on Him,
if ye continue in my Word,
then are ye my disciples indeed. So here he said, listen, you believe now, but believing is not good enough. Not just good enough. What you have to do is continue to believe. As I open up your understanding, as I show you more of what I require of you, as you go on to that and you have a deeper level of understanding of truth, then you continue on in that, then you're going to be my disciples indeed. He's given them the understanding at the very beginning that you don't just believe initially, and that's all the work that you have to do, but you have to continue on to believe what God has shown you, and then to believe what He shows you in the future. All right? and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
They answered him,
we be, now he's talking to those that believe. First of all, I want you to understand, he's talking to those that believe, but some folks that didn't believe heard it as well. And do you realize that when we are in a setting like this, that there are people, generally in a general body of people, there are people that believe fully, and then there are people that don't, that maybe have, they're a little skeptics. It's not easy for them to believe just what's thrown out there to them. They have to go and they have to study. And I'm not against you studying the Word of God. One of the things that I often say, and if you've ever heard me say it once, you've heard me say it many, many times, that you don't have to take anything that I say just because I say it. I want you to read the Word of God and understand the Word of God for yourself. One of the reasons that we believe that it is necessary when we preach to have it supported by Scripture is because it's not my opinion. It is not what I want to accomplish. It's not what I want you to know. The responsibility of a minister of the gospel is to get the word at God's mouth and give it to the people. So first, I've got to spend some time with the Lord. First of all, I have to ask the Lord, Lord, I don't know what these people need. I have no idea. But if you want me to preach, you have to give me whatever it is that they need. And maybe you need it today, maybe you'll need it tomorrow. But you'll need it. All right? All right, read.
We be Abraham's
seed. And we have never been in bondage to any man.
How sayest thou?
Ye shall be made free.
Jesus answered them,
verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. Now here's the truth of the matter here. There are some folks that don't believe that you can live a holy life. They don't believe that you can live a life free from committed sin. That is not the truth. That is not what Jesus Christ came and died for. He came to deliver you from your sins. Now that's the truth. And we realize that we cannot live it in and of ourselves, that we need the Holy Spirit to live it through us. But as we yield ourselves to the Spirit of God, He is able to keep us from sin. Now here is what this scripture is saying. Whoso committed sin is a servant of sin. So he says, now Jesus is saying here, he said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What is he talking about? The truth shall make you free from what? It shall make you free from sin. Now we other scriptures, this is not, in this particular sermon, I'm not going to deal with that, but you already know the other scriptures all through the Bible that tells you that we don't have to sin more or less every day. Alright? So, you can study that on your own, but Jesus here is saying, and ye shall know the truth shall make you free. You don't have to be under bondage to sin. You don't have to sin every day. You don't have to do the things that you didn't want to do. One of the reasons that I got saved is I was doing things that I didn't want to do. And there was something inside of me that forced me to do it, and I knew it was leading me on the road to destruction, but I can't help it. I couldn't help it. But then I learned about the truth of God's Word, that if I get accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I ask Him to come and cleanse me from my sin. What does the Scripture say? The blood of Jesus cleanses from how many sins? 99.9% of the sins? No, from all sin. He says, if the Son, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Once you know and understand the truth of God's Word, it has power and authority to deliver you and me from sin. All right, so they're saying here, what are you talking about here? We are Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage. We've never been under bondage to any man. And you're saying that we shall be made free. What are you talking about? They were dealing on a temporal level, on a physical level. He's dealing down in the depths of their spirit. All right? So he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin, you're the servant of sin. You serve sin. You're under bondage to sin. Whoever you are, whatever class you're in, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're middle class, it really doesn't matter. If you commit sin, you're under bondage to that sin. And the truth shall make you free, is what he's saying here. All right? Read.
Servant
abideth not in house forever. Son abideth forever.
If the Son, therefore,
shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now, what is this talking about? What is the truth of this? He's talking about sin, isn't he? He said the Son has made you free. How did he do it? He died on a cruel cross for us. He shed his precious blood. And when he shed his precious blood, we are crucified with him on that cross. And we die, die to sin as well. Alright? So this is what he's saying. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. That's truth. Alright? Read. I know that you're Abraham. I knew that.
But
ye seek to kill me.
Because
my word hath no place in you.
I speak that which I have seen in the Father.
Now there's something the Lord's bringing to my mind. I want you to see verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And it says here in the 32nd verse, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So he's putting those two together. So you see, when I say that Jesus Christ is the personification of truth, he's truth in person. He's something that we can touch. We know that in essence that this is we can know it. It's not just this mystical thing. It's Jesus Christ himself. All right. So if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So he's tying all this together that we can live a holy life, saints. We can do that. All right. Read.
But you seek to kill me
because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father. And you do that which you have seen of your father. Now he's talking about his father, and he's talking about their father. So again, you have these individuals that are actually talking to Jesus Christ. It's not talking to one of his witnesses. It's not talking to one of his disciples. These are Jews that Jesus is preaching to, and they're talking to Jesus, truth, the Spirit of truth, the Word of God, the creator of the universe. They're talking to him and they're having a debate with him. Lord, have mercy. All right, read.
They answered and said unto him,
Abraham is our father.
Jesus said
unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth. That's all I've told you. I've just simply told you the truth. Have you ever had situations where people, you're telling them the truth and they don't like you as a result of it? You're trying to destroy my reputation. You're trying to destroy the influence that I may have on other people because I'm telling you the truth. Well, Brother Darrell, he's this and he's that. Do you know I've had that happen, and no doubt you have too? When you begin to speak the truth of God's word, there is something that the enemy has that comes against the saints. You stand on the truth that God has revealed to you, no matter what happens. Lord, help us. Alright? Alright, read.
You
seek to kill me.
The
man that has told you the truth, which I've heard of God.
This did not
Abraham didn't do this. Alright, read. Ye do the deeds of your father.
Then
saith they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father. Now you see that these people are saying that they're religious people. There is a lot in this passage of scripture. These people are religious people. These people are saying, no, we be children of God. And read what Jesus says here.
If God were your father,
ye would love me.
For I proceed forth and came from God.
Neither came I of myself, but he sent me, and you should know that. It should be revealed to you that I am of my Father. And you are pretending or you are claiming to be of my Father. And I know that you're not. I have the discernment. This is Jesus again. I have the discernment that you don't even know what you're talking about. You don't even know this Father that you're saying that you're a part of. Do you realize that we live in a generation of people that claim to be, I don't know, they act like they are experts in religion. Have you noticed how many people are experts in religion and don't know anything? All right, and here they're having, and you're having conversations with them, and maybe some you've known, maybe some are in your family, maybe some are friends, maybe some are acquaintances, Maybe some are people that you have once worshipped with, but they know everything about the Bible but how to live right. And oftentimes, what they do is make justification for the way that they're living. And what you're doing is showing forth what they know. When they look at you, they know that there's something different. Saints, that's why we're to live it. Don't live on the edge. Don't try to get away with things and try to walk just as close to the world as possible. Walk in the middle of the lane, so to speak. Lord, help me that I can get as far away from the edge as I possibly can, that I can have the testimony that I am a child of God. That's the kind of testimony you need. And what happens is there is this desire in man to justify himself when he knows that he's doing wrong. And so these people, no doubt, I don't believe that you can come in contact with Jesus and be the same. So here are these men, these Jews that the Scripture is speaking about, here that we're reading about, they're being confronted, and every time they have a comeback or justification, Jesus closes it in and says, no, you're not of your... And they know it. There's something that speaks to the inward man and lets them know that this is Jesus speaking. There's something different about this man. He's the one that's been going around healing all these folks and doing all these miracles and teaching these things. And there's something that rings true about what he said, but I don't want to accept it. I'm not ready to accept it. I may have to give up my status. I may have to give up this or that if I accept what he has to say. And so I justify. They justify. Well, we're not under bondage to anybody. We don't need what you have because we're not under bondage to anybody. We're Abraham's seed. Well, if you were Abraham's seed. And so there's this rebuttal that Jesus has where he's trying to reason with these people. So we have those kinds of people as well. We have people that come to us or people that we know. We get in discussions with them and they know they're not right. Deep down in their hearts. And they are going to have a rebuttal against everything that you say that is true. You keep living the life. You keep living it. You keep living like God wants you to live. And you know what often happens, what I see happens, is that the conviction, not the conviction of what we say, but the conviction of our lives. It's presented to them, and they have to do something with it. They have to deal with it in some kind of a way. Maybe not in the way that they wanted to initially, but Lord, let me tell you, saints, this is truth. You stand by it, you live it, and the Lord will take you through any test, any trial. All right? Why don't you understand me?
Even because you cannot hear my words.
You cannot hear my words.
Ye are of your father,
the devil. Now he's, oh, what if we told him that? What if you had a conversation? You're of the devil. You know good and well what you're talking about is of the devil. You think everybody would, the door would just go. This is what Jesus did. But do you see how he didn't do it until now? He's having this dialogue with him. He's trying to a reason with him. He's trying to come to the point. Then he just has to come out and say, you're not of your, you're saying you're of God, but you're really not. You know it, and I know it. All right, read.
And the lust of your father.
The lust of your father you will do. That's where your problem is. Your problem is you're wanting to do something that the Word of God condemns, that the truth of God condemns. The lust of your father, that's what you're interested in doing.
He was a murderer
from the beginning. See, you're trying to kill me. You're trying to kill my influence. He was a murderer from the beginning. Do you know what? That's what the devil does? If the devil can't destroy you, he'll try to destroy your influence. If you have influence with folks in your family, the devil will put some kind of conspiracy against you, and he'll try to destroy the influence that you have with those that are around you. That's why you're to live right. And sometimes all you can do is live it down. Live it on them. Lord, help us. All right, read.
He was a murderer
from the beginning. And he abode not in the truth,
because
there is no truth in him. There was no truth in him.
When he speaketh a lie,
he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar And he is the father of it. Now he's just breaking it on down, and he's letting them know, now you're all these justifications, you know good and well that you're not telling the truth about this. And you know that there's something deep down in your heart, when we get down to the very core of it, there is something that you want to do that you're not willing to give up, and you're still wanting to hold on to this God, all this God talk, so to speak. You want to hold on to it, and you want to do what the devil is telling you to do. There's a lust in your heart, and you're not willing to get it out. And that's your experience. Lord, help us. Read.
And
because I tell you the truth,
you believe me not.
You believe me not. All right. So we have truth. And you know, sometimes when we look at things like this, it might be a little discouraging to us sometimes, because we feel like in our heart and mind that we want people to embrace what we know is the Lord, what the Lord has revealed to us. We want them to embrace it, but they don't want to embrace it. They're not ready to embrace it because of what we just read, this dialogue that goes back and forth. And it's really what I've learned in the midst of all this dialogue that goes back and forth, there's something deep down inside that they're not willing yet to do. And so I'm learning. I can't say that I've learned it fully, but the Lord has taught me and is teaching me that sometimes what you have to do is you have to step back and you've got to pray. You've got to carry your burden for these individuals and ask the Lord to do something for them and to open the way for you to be able to speak to them or for someone else. So you don't have to do the speaking. But somebody else, or for the Lord to do it. The Lord can speak to them in ways that we can. But saints, let me tell you what is most important for you. You know the truth and let the truth make you free. You live the kind of a life. You know, one of the things that people will endeavor to do, they'll endeavor to say there's too many hypocrites in the church. They know that they're not living right, and therefore that's why I don't go to church. Well, that's an excuse. Are there hypocrites? Probably, I'm sure. But we don't have to be one, do we? Lord, help us live right. Live right in front of your spouse, your family. You live right there and show them what the truth of God's word is. When you do that, that's going to have an effect on them. You live right in front of your co-workers and your supervisors. When things don't go right at work, you don't get all huffy-puffy and storm off and have an attitude about it. Lord, give me the grace to do what I'm supposed to do and to show forth the Spirit of God in the midst of my co-workers. Wherever it is that I am, my neighborhood. Lord, help me not to be found doing something when the saints ain't looking that I wouldn't do if they were. Lord, help us. We want to be honest with all men at all times. Lord, have mercy on us. All right? Getting a little too close? All right. All right. So what we have here, I enjoy reading, always have for the most part. And one of the things is that there are what is called historical fiction. You've heard of that? You know what historical fiction is? Historical fiction, in essence, is that a particular event happened. And there is record that these particular things happen. And in the midst of the story that is written by an author, historical fiction takes that event, whatever that event may be, and they create a story around it, and they take the actual facts from that event and they mix it with dialogue, because you really can't have dialogue unless somebody wrote it down. I said this to them, they said this to me, and we went back and forth. You can't do that because the people are gone and you don't know what they said. But they around this event, the author creates a story that is very plausible and very accurate to the event. But he makes up what happened. This could have happened. We don't know for sure. But when you read into it and you read the history and you know something about the history of it, then it looks like that this is very possible that this thing could have happened just like the author said it. We don't know that. But what happens is this Bible is historical, but it's not fiction. The dialogue that we just heard is actual dialogue that was written because the Holy Spirit brought it back to the people, to John, whoever it is, mind, to write it down, to the disciples' mind, to write down what Jesus said and what the disciple, what the Jews said. It's not fiction, it's fact. But one of the things he said, you're of your father, the devil. One thing that the devil does is he writes historical fiction. It's plausible, and a person can believe that it could have happened like that, but it's not. This is why we need to know very clearly, we need to have the mind of Christ. We'll put it that way. Lord, because I need to know, and we need to know the voice of God. Lord, I need to know when you're speaking to me, and I need to know when it's not you. I need to know if it parallels the Word of God or if it doesn't parallel the Word of God. I need to know that because I've got to make it to heaven. I've got to.
Amen.
It's not an option.
Amen.
Going to heaven is not optional for me. It should not be optional for you. Lord, have mercy. Whatever it is that you want me to do, whatever it is that you died for me to accomplish, I'm going to accomplish that because the only way for me to get to heaven is to accomplish it. I'm going to do it, whatever it takes. By the grace of God. But the devil, he said, what is a lie? A lie is to take something and twist it. It could have been like that. It could have been like that. When somebody lies, I thought of it like this. I've told you a story about me being in, I managed a property for somebody and the tenant didn't pay the rent. Of course, I don't necessarily like doing this, but sometimes you have to go to eviction court, right? I've had to do that a time or two in my career. I've told you the story. I'm going to tell you again for a particular reason. So I went there one time, and normally the plaintiff speaks first and then the defendant. So that would mean the person that's normally I speak first and tell what the situation is, and the person has a right to defend themselves. But this time this person was actually a teacher. She was actually a teacher with a master's degree, a very articulate woman, but she didn't pay her rent. She just didn't pay her rent. She went to the judge. We went before the judge, and she just immediately started speaking. As soon as we were affirmed in, she immediately started speaking and laying down pictures and all these. And what she said, for the most part, was true. So the judge, after she got through talking, he hit the gavel and he said, case dismissed. So I had not opened my mouth. I hadn't said one word. So I looked at him. I said, case dismissed? I said, how can you dismiss a case and you haven't heard the other side? It just came out. I wasn't trying to be disrespectful to the judge, but it just came out. How can you dismiss a case and go with the defendant and you haven't heard the plaintiff's side yet? So what she said may have been true, but it wasn't the whole truth. Because all the pictures that she had, there was a rebuttal to every one of them that I could have said, no, when she did this, this is what I told her, this is what happened, this is how it happened, this is the other side of it. And when you look at the other side, you get the whole picture of it, it's a whole different picture. It's not the same as what, but if you're laying it down and this is all that you do, you're writing that side, this is why it's important for us to have the whole Word of God. There is such thing that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sins. And there is grace. That is wonderful grace that actually covers my sin. That's true, but it is not true that I can't live free from sin. You understand? Did I say that right? I want to make certain that goes on record as being correct. I can live free from sin, but those that want to just take the grace part and that's all that they look at, it may be true, but it's not the whole truth. The whole truth is, whom the Son hath made free is free indeed. Ye shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And all other scriptures that talk about us being free from sin. It's conditional. It teaches us. And he says, if you continue on, as he said, if you do the things that I say, what did he say in the beginning of that scripture that we read? He says, continue in my word. Then shall ye be my disciples indeed. There is a condition that I have to do. That once I believe, those that believe, this is who he's talking about. And so there are those that are not speaking the truth of God, the full whole truth of God's word. So they say all you have to believe is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That is true. But you have to continue on. You don't go back into sin and start sinning more or less every day and then expect once saved, always saved. That is not true. That's not truth. It's fiction. When you're saved, yes, once saved, you can be always saved, but you have to continue into it. I can be saved for all eternity, but I make the choice. I don't go back out and sin. I make the choice. I'm not going to go back out and sin. I'm not going to do that more or less every day. I am going to find a place in the Lord. Lord, you help me to go down in you and do whatever it takes for me to live this kind of life that you want me to live. Lord, that's truth.
Amen.
It's the whole truth. Well, if you listen to this, and this is why it's important for you, this is why we warn against just going to any church of your choice. Because what you will hear is what the defendant, they lay it out, they lay their case out, and it seems like, oh, that makes sense. And so once I've judged this case, and I've judged it, I dismiss it, I can say, you know what, I can live like however I want to for the most part, and just ask the Lord to forgive me every night. That's not truth. That's a lie. It's fiction. It's not fact. Now, it's true that if I stumble and if you fall, then there's an advocate. Then the Lord picks you up, and you can say, Lord, what did Peter do? Peter was a disciple, right? And he said, Peter, before the cock, he said, Lord, I'm going to go with you all the way. He said, listen, before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. I'm not going to do that, Lord. We feel confident in ourselves that I'm not going to deny the Lord. But you know what? The Lord gives us warning that, or through His Word, through His preached Word, however it is, that we're to be careful about something. Our responsibility is to be careful. Lord, is it I? Am I in a position, Lord? Am I going to deny you, Lord? Give me the grace right now not to deny you. But we can say all we want to when we're strong and when the sun is shining and there is no problem. We can say, I'm going to go all the way. But when the clouds get low, when things get dark, when there's persecution all around, what do we say? Lord, give me the grace. And what did Peter say? Lord, and then when he denied him, what did he do? Did the Lord just kick him and say, Peter, you can't be my disciple anymore? No, Peter went out and he wept bitterly and he repented and he said, Lord, I'm so sorry. And he spent the rest of his life making it up to him.
All right. So the devil wants to show you this part. He wants to show you truth. This is why we can say, that's true. I can't say anything about that. The grace of God covers your sin. I can say that. I can say it of a truth, but I want to show you the rest of it. He said, behold the goodness of God. God is so good. So what happens is a great majority of churches nowadays, in order to get the people in, they preach on the goodness of God and His truth. You can read it by the Bible.
You can read it in the Bible. God is so good. He loves you. He loves you this and all this. But He says, behold the goodness and what? Severity of God. There is a balance here. And the Lord is not just going to let us do what He wants to after He paid such a high price to come down here and die and redeem me. And now I'm just going to stay in sin? No. Lord, help us. Help us. God forbid.
All right. So the devil... And listen, saints, don't think that you're so far above the lies of the devil that you won't listen to what he says. You got to be careful. Lord, help us. All right, let's go a little bit further here. First of all, let's go to Revelations 22 and 18. And someone get us Genesis 2, verse 16. Revelation. Yes, yes.
I was thinking about Lot and how the angels came down to deliver him.
Yes.
And I was thinking how he was the leader of his whole family. He tried to speak to his sons and daughters.
Yes.
Yes. May I do this and may I do that, when God has clearly spoken. In the meantime, while
That's why we look at the whole picture. Yes. Lord, help us. And we don't have the capacity to really look at the whole picture. The Lord does. He sees it. And we need to believe Him when He shows it to us. All right, let's go to Revelation, the 22nd chapter. And this is, 22nd chapter, verse 18.
I testify unto
every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Now, what I wanted to bring out is we can't add to and we can't take away. I don't have that luxury, if you want to call it a luxury. I don't have that right to determine what I want to preach about and what I don't want to preach about. You know, some of the things that we minister, we know it's hard. We know that when it is presented, it's going to be hard and it's not going to be accepted. Well, it's going to be hard to swallow. You know, one of the things that as your Lord is dealing with you and getting a message together, sometimes you wrestle with the Lord. Sometimes you ask Him, Lord, how do I say it? Lord, help me that I can swallow it first. And then once I'm able to swallow it and digest it, then I know how to give it to somebody else because I know it's not easy for you. And I believe that that's why the Lord has, one of the reasons, of one of many reasons, why the Lord has chosen a man or a woman, chosen those of us out from us to be able to minister to us, because when we get along with the Lord and we wrestle with Him, we know how you're going to feel when we give it to you. Lord, help us. And so there's something about it when, you know, we're going through the same thing. I'm dealing with the same things. I go through the same trials. I have the same battles that you have. I have the same temptations that you have. And it means something when you know that I can go through it by the grace of God. And if I can go through it, what is available to me is available to you. Isn't that wonderful? Nobody is so high and exalted that all the ministers get this and the rest of us don't. They get a little bit more. No, whatever I get, you can have it as well. Whatever you have, I can have it as well. And this is why the Lord has this reciprocal process that we're part of a body. There is no member of the body. Which member of the body would you rather be without? Would you rather be without your feet or your hands? Would you rather be without your fingers or your ears? Whatever it may be, you want everything that's on your body, don't you? Because it's serving a purpose, even if I don't know what that purpose is altogether. But it's serving a purpose. And so you're serving a purpose. I'm serving a purpose. My purpose is no more important than yours, in essence. Lord, help us. All right. Genesis 2:16. The Lord God commandeth the man,
saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest
freely eat. Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Now this is historical fact. This is history and it's factual. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. In the day that you eat it thereof, thou shalt surely die. That's what God said. That was His conversation to Adam. Don't eat it. Don't touch it. Here it is. I'm showing it to you. I don't want you to eat of it. I don't want you to touch it. I don't know that it looked any different from any other tree. But He put His finger on that tree and said, don't do it. All right? Now, I want us to turn a little, go a little bit further, and I want us to go to Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle. Now he's talking about, I want you to understand, we're talking about the devil. We talked about at the beginning of this discourse, him being the father of lies. All right? Now let's read that. Now we know, first of all, before we go there, we know what the facts are. We know what God said because He ran it down, He recorded it. Now we want to understand how it's twisted. It takes, in essence, what He said, but He twists it in a way to deceive. So He creates what I would call here historical fiction. All right? Read.
It's more subtle than
any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of every... All right, so the serpent knew. He said, the Lord said, y'all shall not eat of every tree of the garden.
But of the fruit of the tree...
Now, you see what the devil said? The devil said what the Lord said.
God said,
yes.
Ye shall not eat of it.
Ye shall not eat of it. Neither shall you touch it,
lest
ye die.
And
the serpent said unto the woman, oh, ye shall not surely die.
For God doth
know
that
in the day that ye eat thereof,
then
your eyes shall be
open,
and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eye, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were open. I told you, the devil said, your eyes are going to be open. Your eyes are going to be open. And you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.
They knew that they were naked.
They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Do you see what the devil can do? You see how the devil can paint a picture? He can take the word of God. There's another scripture. If you go into Matthew about the 4th chapter, maybe Luke the 4th chapter, both, where he goes down and talks to Jesus. And he speaks to Jesus about it. He said, oh, cast thyself down, for it's written. It's in the Bible. It's actually there. That if you cast yourself down, the angels shall have charge concerning thee and lift you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Cast yourself down. So that's in the Bible. He creates what he wants. He creates the lies. He takes partial truth and he twists it in order to get you to believe something that is not true at all. Ye shall know the truth. It is not questionable. It is not something that I don't know if I know the truth. Ye shall know the truth.
Amen.
It is incumbent upon you to know the truth of God's word. Eve knew it. But the devil spoke to her, don't neither give place to the devil.
Amen.
When you give place to the devil, he can convince you of something that is not true at all. And it looks like it's true. And it's got enough truth in it. Well, the Lord knows that in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes shall be open. That was true. Their eyes were open. That's what the next scripture says. But it was a lie from the pit of hell. And this is what's happening in the religious world today. They are telling you truth. Saints, this is why we're, Lord, help us understand we're not to get this simply because, oh, this is where I was taught, so I think I'm going to stay in the church of God. No, it's truth.
Amen.
That's why you're staying. And if it wasn't, we'd all just have a mass exodus away to whatever truth is, that's what we want. Because that's all that's going to save us. That's all that's going to free us. We do what we want to do. We go where we want to go. And you know why? We go where we want to go and do what we want to do? Because we have the freedom. I don't have to preach if I don't want to. There are times that the Lord requires us to do things that we don't want to do. We don't want to do it. What do? We get down on our knees and we beg Him, Lord, give me the willingness to do your will. Because I want to please you.
Yes.
And so ultimately I'm free. I'm a free moral agent. I can do it if I want to. And I don't have to do it if I don't want to. But go back when you were in sin. There were things that you say, I don't want to do it, but there was something inside of you that forced you to do it, and when you got through doing it, you felt dirty.
That's true. That's true.
You felt guilty.
Yeah.
And you didn't want to do it anymore. It wasn't pleasurable. But let me tell you, when you do what you want to do for the Lord, Lord, I have never done something that I didn't want to do for the Lord. The Lord told me to do it, and I didn't get a blessing from it. In the end, Lord, I did it, and I did it happily. That's a word. I did it, Lord, and you know what? You blessed me in it. Oh, thank the Lord. That's truth. But what the devil wants to do, I'm saying this because we're living in a religious time. And it says in the last days, perilous times will come. Part of the peril is not terrorists. It's not the terrorists. It's not folks shooting up schools and malls. That's perilous too. But it's religious peril. Where you can mix so expertly the truth with error that you can barely discern it. That's what the scripture says. You go to the 24th chapter of Matthew. What did it say? He said, what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? What is the first thing he says? Take heed that no man deceive you before he tells him anything else. You watch that no man deceives you. You know, folks are getting deceived right and left today. Saints, let's pray that the Lord has mercy on us. Let's pray that when we embrace truth, we got it and I'm holding on to it. But Lord, you've shown this in your word and I'm going to live it. I don't care what they're doing over there at Potter's house or whoever, wherever else. I don't care what they're doing at the mega churches, Lord. I don't care. What I know is you've given me a little oasis here. Not very many folks, but Lord, I know they love you. I know the person that preaches to us, I can sense that they live right, they endeavor to live right by the grace of God. I'm not doing this because I want the money. You ought to know that. I'm doing it because this is what I love. You know what? I love pleasing God. I love pleasing God more than I love preaching. I've told you, it's not really something that I enjoy. But I enjoy pleasing the Lord. And I know that this pleases Him. So therefore, I do it and I enjoy it because it's enjoyable to Him. Lord, help us. All right. I don't know why I don't get very far in these messages, but let me just go on a little further here. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. Yes. 2 Thessalonians. Yes. His coming is after the working of Satan. All power and signs and lying wonders. All deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth. You have to love it. When you get it, it's, you know, sometimes it's just raw and it's not very exciting or, you know, some folks want something, and I've seen people like that, they want excitement. And when you, sometimes the truth is just raw truth. It's nothing extraordinary from the standpoint of looking at it. It's nothing that people would, you know, look at Jesus. You know what the scripture says in Isaiah? It speaks about him and talks about that he was to behold him. Y'all know the scripture I'm trying to say. Get that scripture for us. He wasn't an attractive man. It wasn't something that the Lord was so, he's a really nice looking, handsome man. It said when you looked on him, there was nothing on his outward that would cause you to desire him. So he chose not to even, he could have been in whatever body, he could have been the most beautiful, most handsome man ever born on this earth, but he wasn't. He chose not to be. He chose to be rather gamely looking, rather plain looking, rather unattractive, you might say. Read it. Yes? As a tender plant? Root out of a no form, no comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrow, and acquainted with grief. This is truth that we're talking about. This is the personification of truth. So when I say that there are times that the truth is just raw, not beautiful from the outward look, but when you embrace it, when you embrace it, it's something that's beautiful. You understand what I'm saying? So when we get an understanding that this is truth, we've got to learn to love it. And let me tell you, there are going to be all kinds of things that the devil is going to try to bring between you and the truth of God's word. You can't allow that to happen. You have to be the guard of the truth that God has revealed to you. You have to be the guard of it. If everybody in this church turned and decided to do something different that you know ain't right, you stand firm. You stand on what the Lord has revealed to you, and He hasn't given you a revelation. You ask Him, Lord, I need something that I can stand on if everybody else go in a different direction. I need something that I can stand on and give me a love for the truth. And what are you asking for? Are you asking for a love of a doctrine? You're asking for a greater love for Christ Himself. And he makes himself known through the doctrines of the church. He makes himself known through the word of God that we support everything by. He makes himself known. And I love the truth because of that. Because it's Jesus that I'm really loving. He's the personification of it. All right? Read. Deceivableness of unrighteousness. And let me say this. Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. So people want... let me tell you what will get you in trouble. You want to see something. See a sign. What does the Scripture say in Corinthians? It speaks about the Jews seek a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. This is what's happening in the religious world today. Some people are wanting... I want a sign that this is the truth. I want a sign for that. And that's, the Lord said, I'm not going to show you a sign. You're just going to have to simply believe. When I give it to you, when I speak, and you look through the Word, and you begin to study out the Word of God, you're going to see that this is indeed the truth of God's Word. And that's all you're looking for. Lord, I'm looking for you. Whatever, in whatever form that is. All right, read.
He said,
they received not the love of the truth,
that they might be saved.
And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. All right, that's good enough. So he says here, with Satan, the workings of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. One of the things that the Catholic Church does, they have a lot of, what are those things? Not just icons, but miracles, things that have happened. There's a word for it. I can't, huh?
Relics.
They have a lot of relics. Supposedly somebody's bones here. It's a vial with some St. Paul's blood or something like that. And every so often it turns to, I've heard about this, that it turns, it was dried blood and it turns liquid. And then there's other things that gives them signs that this is of God. All right? And there are other things. You know, that folks... You know, you used to hear about people bringing in snakes and sticking their hands in and to verify that they are and drinking poison. All that. That's not what the Bible is speaking about. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Why? Well, if they drink any deadly thing, they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, they shall not harm. Well, that's part of the Bible, but it's not the way you're interpreting it. Lord, help us. We need to rightly divide the word of truth. Rightly divide the word of truth. We need to know, Lord, you divide it for me. You, by your Spirit, give me the understanding of what this means. This is why we say in the Sunday school, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Lord, help us. I'm going to need the Spirit of God, and I'm going to need the Word of God in order to study it and to rightly divide it. Because, listen, I can't study the Word of God from an intellectual standpoint. Give me a textbook. I can study that from an intellectual standpoint, but let me tell you, the most important thing about studying the Word of God is not what commentaries you have, it's the condition of your heart. The most important thing that I can do is I can be an unlearned man. I don't have to be able to read very well. Somebody can read it to me, and I can press a button and listen to it, and I can still have an understanding of the Word of God. The depths of it, if my heart is right, if my heart is wrong, it's going to come out skewed in some kind of way. Lord, help us. If I'm studying it for the wrong reason, it's going to come out, it's not going to be truth in the end. It's going to be historical fiction. Oh, yeah, that's what the Bible says, but I disagree with what this. I read something not too long ago, and somebody was saying, well, you know, I disagree with you on that scripture that somebody was having a debate about or a discussion about. Well, I disagree with you about that scripture. They said, no, you don't disagree with me. You disagree with the Apostle Paul. Well, I guess I disagree with Apostle Paul. Because the way that I'm looking at it is the way that the Bible is looking at it. So you can say to folks, well, you disagree with me on that. You don't disagree with me. You disagree with the Word of God. You disagree with what the Lord told this man to write in the Word. Because you know what? My heart is right. I'm not trying to get something out of this other than what the Lord wants. I'm not trying to go up on a status and all that. I just want to live right. What's my point? I'm trying to get to heaven. I'm not trying to be something. I'm not trying for everybody to know my name. I'm not trying to be something in the church of God even. I'm not trying to be something in the congregation. I just want to get to heaven, and if I can do that, I'll be happy. And so everything is geared toward that by the grace of God. All right, so he says here, with all after the workings of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Lying wonders. Do you realize that a lot of folks want to see something. And you know, let me tell you one of the things that is very dangerous in today's day and time. You have folks that they come up, Benny Hinn and all them, they come up and they can touch you on the head and make you fall on the floor. Anybody that's going to touch me and make me fall on the floor, I'm not going to be nowhere around.
Amen.
Do you know why that's dangerous? Because that man or whoever those people that have the ability, they got a spirit, but it ain't the Holy Spirit. Well, Brother Dale, how can you be sure? Because the Holy Ghost told me that they don't have the Holy Spirit. You're going to touch somebody on the head and they're going to just fall on the floor? Let me tell you, some folks speaking in tongue and foaming at the mouth. You know when I see in the scripture about folks foaming at the mouth? You know what the scripture says is happening? They've got it. They're devil possessed. And how? Let me tell you what's happening nowadays. One of the greatest things, the charismatic movement. Lord help us. And it'll try to encroach right here, and it has tried to encroach right among the people of God. We do not accept it because we believe that the Lord has the ability. If he wants to tell me something, he can tell it to me where I can understand it. And if I need to tell you something, I need to tell it to where you can understand it. What benefit is it? I don't see anywhere in the scripture that there is a benefit to me speaking in a language that I don't understand. And that's supposed to be the Holy Ghost. You fall out on the floor and you look unseemly. And why would I want that? Lord, help us. But the devil will tell you that that's what happened. Historical fiction again. Well, on the day of Pentecost. No, that ain't what happened on the day of Pentecost. Read that again.
Amen.
Read it again. Those folks understood every word that Peter was preaching. They understood it in their own language. And let me tell you, I get to preach it and there are all kind of folks here. And then you hear it in Spanish and French and German and all that. Then okay, you got something there. Because according to the Word of God, that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. It wasn't that they were speaking blah, 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 whatever they were saying. And everybody was, and nobody understood them. They had an interpreter. And all. Well, no interpreter there. Well, what about the other times? Listen, the safest thing for me to do is, Lord, I want something that I can understand. What is the Bible? Why did He give us this word? Well, what does the Scripture say? All Scripture was given by inspiration of God. And what is it for? Instruction? Correction? All of the, what is it? Why did He do this? To give us understanding of what His mind is. He wants us to understand what His mind is. Now, why all of a sudden He's giving me a language that I don't understand, they don't understand, nobody understands, that is directly against the Word of God. Lord, help us. This is truth. Don't be sucked up under that kind of thing because, well, they did use this scripture and that scripture does look this, and you look at the whole picture. Look at the whole picture. Let's have the defendant and let's have the plaintiff. Let's have the plaintiff. Let's have the defendant here. Before I make a judgment on this case, let's hear all of the evidence. Let's hear about the goodness of God. Let's hear about the severity of God. Saints, this is an important message. Important for us to get a hold of the truth of God's Word. Because we're entering into a time in which... I was looking at a picture not too long ago. I'm not going to tell you what the picture was, but I was looking at a picture. Probably about 50, 60 people on that picture. And when I looked at it, I said, literally half of those people, this picture was taken probably 7 or 8 years ago. And half of those people are not saved today. Or, I say, let me rephrase that. Half of them are not living to the level that they were living to. That's why it says, five wise, five foolish. There's a reason for that. Lord, help us. All right, so I'm almost done here. Somebody told me to stop saying this, so I'm going to stop saying it. But I am almost done. I just want to deal with this last scripture here. And it says, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, unrighteousness has the ability to deceive you. And saints, if you're not careful, you can be deceived. All of us can be. But if we continue to be honest in our heart, Lord, that all I desire, I don't want any frills and any greatness. I just want to do what's right. I just want to live right. I just want to be the kind of man. See, I believe the Lord created. When He created you, when He created me, He created us for a purpose. And He knew, He put us in the environment that He wanted us to be in. And He said, from the date of your birth to the date of your death, there is a purpose that I have for you. And all I have to do, I don't have to be great in the world's eyes. All I have to do is say, Lord, what is that purpose? And That's the line that I follow the rest of my life. That purpose. Lord, I want to accomplish what you created me to accomplish. I want nothing more, nothing less. All right? So, there are those in the religious world that are adding to the Word of God. You have a lot of mysticism. You have a lot of folks that are wanting to be Christians and do yoga and all that. That stuff, you don't need that.
Amen.
There's something wrong with that. We won't get it all up into that, but we want to deal with here a love for the truth, and it says he'll send a strong delusion. I wanted to deal with this. There is one thing for a moment that I wanted to address here a little bit. Delusional disorder, previously called paranoid disorder, is a type of serious mental illness involving psychosis. Psychosis is the inability to tell what is real from what is imagined. The main feature of delusional disorder is the presence of delusions, unshakable beliefs in something untrue. I just got this off the internet. I Googled it. People with delusional disorder experience non-bizarre delusions, which involve situations that could occur in real life, such as being followed, poisoned, deceived, conspired against, or loved from a distance. These delusions usually involve the misinterpretation of perceptions or experiences. In reality, however, the situations are either not true at all or highly exaggerated. I see the devil doing that in a religious sense, not just in a religious sense, but we see that nowadays that there are a lot of folks, and I believe that there's legitimate mental illness. I believe that there's legitimate where maybe people have nervous breakdowns or there's something that's a weak constitution. But I think that a lot of the things that we see today are not mental at all. They're spiritual. They're spiritual. People have, when you don't have a love for the truth and embrace it, that you open the door. Or you at least unlock it. And you at least crack it maybe to see what's going on. You have something in you that allows the enemy to grab hold and take advantage of you. This is what it says. Because you didn't have a love for the truth, he'll send a strong delusion. This is why, saints, we're not doing it because I want to be in the church that I grew up in. I'm doing it because I know this is right. It's right. It's just right. Now, how do I know it's right? I've seen too many folks die this way. I've seen how the Lord has dealt with me. I've seen how the Lord has kept me. And all of us have those kinds of testimonies. I've seen people that you know their life was clean before the Lord. They weren't just walking, straddling the fence, so to speak. So may the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. We won't go all off into it. Maybe we'll save that for another time. But may the Lord help us to understand that when the truth is given to us, we're to embrace it. We're to love it. And when we love the truth, it prevents us from having an unshakable belief in something that is not true. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are folks like that out there today. They believe a lie. And the scripture says they believe in a lie and they're damned as a result of that. We don't want to believe a lie. We want to believe the truth of God's word. I desire that you pray for me that when the truth is presented to me, then I'll embrace it, whatever it is. Sometimes it's raw. Sometimes it's not very attractive. It's not. If you had two choices, this choice looks much more attractive than the raw truth of it. But we have to go with what's true, because ultimately, at the end of truth, is really where we want to go. That's really what we want, what we desire. I desire that you pray for me. Ye shall know the truth. Ye shall know it. Know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.